Welcome back to the NYG Blue Zone. It's your boy Atticus. I'm here with Moomore. We ready to talk New York football Giants. A lot of news going on, Moo.
A lot of stuff going around. A lot of stuff.
No doubt. No doubt.
I like the hat.
So, New York Giants. Yeah, man, you know, I like this one, too. I like the design on the side of it. This is one of my, I guess it's one of my more recent purchases, but I like to switch it up, you know, whenever I can.
Well, it looked good. It looked good. It was a nice pickup. So what we touching on first, Unc?
Well, it's been a while since we were able to chop it up and talk about the Giants, the team, the players, the season. Now, there's a whole lot of new information in the news cycle with the coaching search going on. Obviously, the playoffs are underway. And it's a little disappointing for year after year, you know, late December, early January, for us to be talking about the draft, free agency, coaches, and stuff like that. Not the playoffs, but this is what we do as Giants fans, unfortunately. Hopefully, if the Giants get this new head coaching search right, we won't be doing that moving forward. But we got a lot. I mean, we can start by really closing out the regular season and talking about what you saw that you liked, what you didn't see, that you wanted to see, and what you hope to see moving forward. But before we get in all of that, I just want to ask everybody, if you like our content, to please like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so every time we drop some content, you'll be one of the first ones to get notified. And also to remind you, you can find us everywhere on Instagram, Facebook. We are on RSS, which includes Spotify, Apple Play, Google Podcasts. Anywhere you want to find your favorite podcast, you can find us there. And we are on X, formerly known as Twitter. So make sure that you lock us in on all your socials so you never miss anything that we're talking about.
If you needed any indication that Uncle Atticus is not an Apple guy, he meant Apple Podcast.
I call it Apple Play, right? Yeah, Apple Podcast. Yeah. You know, I got my shortcomings. I'm not an Apple guy. I'm Team Android. But, and you know what? I thought after I said it, I said that didn't sound right, but I'm going to just keep rocking with it.
I'm going to keep rocking with it.
But my Apple people, they caught that. They caught it quick. Call me out on it. That's okay. It's all good. It's all good. So, Moo, yeah, why don't you tell us what you thought about how the season ended overall? I mean, you had some excitement going in. I think we all did. And I don't know that we all had excitement going in. Like, Dart made us a believer. We knew he was going to be decent. We knew he was going to be probably good, but not like what we saw. But tell us what you expected, what you got, and what you hope to see moving forward.
So, and during this part of the season, there's two kinds of Giants fans. There's the Giants fans that want the pick and the Giants fans that want to win. And I used to be the Giants fan that wanted to win. I've been that guy. But I feel like we've been dealing with this for like the last 7-8 years where we do terrible. And then at the end, we go on a little stretch of winning games to mess up our draft position. This time, it delivered the same. You know, it felt like the Raiders handed us a W. And it felt like, to me personally, Dallas handed us a W when they benched their starters. And we went out there playing like we should have played all year, but we didn't. So I was super disappointed to see that. I was disappointed to see that. The Cowboys laid down and took it. They gave it to us, which I understand. We're divisional rivals. But that the Giants, year after year, it seems like we wrote the book. Like, in practice, it feel like they're like, all right, we up 21. What do we do? And we come up with different ways to really blow it. Mm. And then when it's time, when it's like, all right, well, we done lost 9 straight, 10 straight. At least we got the pick. They took it from us again.
Yeah, no doubt.
And listen, I'm excited about the win. I love what the future have in store. I still think the 5th pick is a good pick. I wanted to get a high pick, trade back, and get more from that as well. But the 5th pick is still a really good pick. It's just when I want this team to win, I cannot for the life of me get that win. Mm-hmm. And when I'm like, you know what? We sucked all year. We get what we deserve. We get the number one pick. Or the number one, the two pick. I would have been fine with that too. And they just do the opposite of what I think. So I came up with something. All right. Here's my new theory. Next season, I want the Giants to go 0-17. I don't want them to win nothing. You following me? It's my new theory.
I feel you.
I don't want the Giants to win nothing. I want them to
lose. Hey, when you have low expectations, they can only make you proud, right?
They can only make me proud. Every time I want this team to win and I want it bad, they lose. When I want them to like just take the L, let's take our pick and go with it, they win. So next year, we might go undefeated. But in my heart, I'm training my heart and my mind and my spirit
for the Giants. That's smart.
I want them to be 0-17.
That's smart strategy. let me ask you a question. We're going to talk about all of the draft positioning and, you know, and before the draft, there's free agency, right? So there's probably going to be some needs that's filled during that period. Obviously, Joe Shane is going to be making a lot of decisions on that. When it comes to the new head coach in search, Giants ownership has already made it abundantly clear that they are not going to allow Joe Shane to make the hire. He's going to be a part of the interview process, but he is not the one that's going to make the hiring decision. But before we really break all that down and flesh it out a little bit, I want to ask you, because this season came with a host of different reasons to cheer and be happy, and then Lord knows it gave us many reasons to be just completely and totally pissed the fuck off, with good reason, right? The Giants had at various points of the season got our expectations way up here, only to have them come crashing back down and bring us back down to a sad reality that we've lived with for the past decade or so. But I want to ask you, what was your favorite part of the season, your most painful part of the season, and maybe what do you feel that the Giants did get right, if anything?
My favorite part of the season is when we beat Philly on Thursday night. My most painful part of the season is when Zach Bond did his hip drop tackle on Cam Scataboo. I feel like that shifted the entire season, if I'm being honest with you. And I feel like what we got right, it's got to be the draft picks, right? Is there anything else we could, like, I feel like Jackson Dart, if you gave me four quarterbacks to pick from college, Jackson Dart wouldn't have been in my top four. But I also don't watch much college ball. But we picked them up, I was like, Ole Miss, whatever. Man, I feel like we got our quarterback. I feel like we got our running back. I hope Cam Scataboo come back healthy and doing the things he was doing before the injury. I just feel like we did real good with our rookies, our draft picks last year.
Yeah, I think the what most exciting. You? Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, but there's layers to it also, right? Like you talked about that big win against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it really started with the poise, the patience, and how Jackson Dart showed he was NFL ready to play against the Chargers at MetLife Stadium in his first start of the season. I did not expect for him to get the dub. But see, there's layers to it, right? So I think the thing that excited me most and really made me feel good was to see how well our rookies performed. And it was a slower start for Abdul Carter than it was for Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart. But coming into that game, man, their first start against a team that was slated to be that's in the playoffs right now, the Los Angeles Chargers, that was slated to be Super Bowl contenders, and they handled their business. And they didn't look like rookies. They didn't go in there and throw a bunch of picks and fumble the ball and just look without Malik Nabers. You know, they didn't look disjointed. They looked like they were in command, well, Jackson Dart anyway, of the offense. So I was really excited about that. And then that extended into that Thursday night game against the Philadelphia Eagles, which, by the way, they didn't just beat the Eagles. Like, they whooped their ass. Like, the Eagles really thought that they was going to come into MetLife Stadium and it was going to be business as usual, because over the past series of years, they haven't been a problem for the Eagles. even though the Giants would put up a fight for the first half in some situations, maybe would win a quarter, but the Eagles would always find a way to just unload on them, right? Mm-hmm. But on this particular Thursday night, the Giants diddied with baby oil the Philadelphia Eagles on a national stage, right? And that felt really, really good. So I'm going to agree with you that that was really exciting, probably my most exciting part of the season. Not just, but I can't limit it to one or two games because I'll be honest with you, you talked about the most painful part was watching Cam Scadaboo be injured. That was painful, right? For two reasons. We lost him for the season. And the second part of it was it did derail the synergy that we had developed offensively on the team. But I think one of the more painful overall parts for me was just the absolutely disgustingly bad play of our defense. For us to be slated to have a top five defense going into the season, to be the worst defense in the league in every statistical category that made sense, I was like, what am I watching here? How many fourth quarter leads is one team capable of giving up, surrendering in epic fashion, breaking records, historical records? How many times can one team? It was terrible. It was really painful.
That's what I mean when I say with the last two games, really. All of a sudden, we got it all together now. We could get the interceptions. We could get the fumbles. We if we would have won half the games that we blew in the fourth quarter, I wouldn't even care about them winning these last two. If we would have went,
right,
you know, 7-9 or whatever the case may be, 7-10, I would have been fine.
I think they would have been 9-8, to be honest with you. Had Maybe. They won some of those games, they should have won.
Yeah. And I dislike that we are a team, and we've been for a long time, that when we got the lead, at times, most of the times, we play not to lose instead of playing right to win. And I don't like that.
Right. It did backfire them against the Chicago Bears because they did try to play to win and not to lose.
Yeah.
They were stopped on that fourth. They had the ball first and 10 at the 1 yard line, and they tried to punch it in for a touchdown. And Chicago's defense stepped up. Credit to them.
They really did
try to win that game, and they weren't able to. And then, you know, let me ask you this. What were some of the things about this season that truly surprised you in a good way and things that surprised you maybe in a bad way?
The things that surprised me in a good way, and I hate to sound repetitive, rookies was as advertised with the exception of Abdul Carter. And he did come to life in the last like four or five games. And even prior to that, he was delivering the pressures. He wasn't finishing. But when we draft people, ever since the Eric Flowers effect, Kadarius Toney, Eli Apple, oh things like that.
Why you gotta bring that up?
I'm just saying. I have a PTSD with our draft picks. So when we draft somebody and Malik Nabers is doing what Malik Nabers do, Jackson Dart, he looks like his highlights. Cam Scadaboo, as promised. Abdul Carter towards the end, this is what we drafted him for. The feeling that the people we drafted to make an impact, Alexander on the D-line, they all kind of, they did their part. We got a young team, and that's what excites
me.
No
doubt.
And we have potential to keep this team together. The most disappointing thing for me, and I was disgusted by our defense. Please believe me. It was hard to watch without texting Quan and complaining. But the thing that disturbed me the most was Darius Slayton. I felt like when Malik Nabers went down, Darius Slayton is now WR1. Our slot receiver turned into WR1. He cannot bring anything in. He had the drops that he had when he wore the 87. I always felt like we don't make enough plays designed to go to him. And he's always number two because we always have a number one, or it felt like that at least. And if you gave him a real chance at being a number one, I thought he'd be a good one. He is not. And he is, I don't even, honestly, I wouldn't be upset if we didn't give him another chance. Just drop him down to like the fourth string or something like that, because I was looking at a clip that showed if Jackson Dart, if the drops that didn't happen, if D.O. Johnson and Darius Slayton caught the passes Jackson Dart has thrown to them, he would have 8 more touchdowns and about 700 more yards. Did you see that clip?
Mm-hmm. I did not see that clip, but that doesn't surprise me in the least.
That's crazy to think about that. Like, yeah. his numbers yeah. look pretty good already.
Right. That's a wild statistic for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. You know, number of letdowns that we can point to. Certainly Darius Slayton had many opportunities to do a better job. And Wandale, what a job he did this year. You know, second year returning back from a torn ACL. And my God, did he ball out in the contract year. And Theo Johnson has been so up and down that it's hard for me to really gauge what he's going to be. This is year two of seeing very similar type of mistakes that he's been making. And I don't know that it's as much of a coaching thing as it's, I guess you can coach that out of them, because they have two different receiving coaches. You know, you got a tight ends coach and you got a wide receiver coach. And you got the same thing that's happening across the board. It really makes you wonder if it's the coaching or the player. And part of me is leaning towards it's the player. And I've watched him try to. He did look better this year. And here's the thing about Theo Johnson. His drops, and I'm going to say this about Darius Slayton too. His drop percentage is really not that far off from a league average, but when they've made their drops have been at some of the most critical points of a game where you need to catch that ball. Like, that's the difference between winning and losing when Theo Johnson and Darius Slayton has made some of these drops. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on them, because we've talked about them to depth and how we need to. Theo Johnson, I have more hope for than I do Darius Slayton at this point, because Darius Slayton has just been years of the same thing. Theo Johnson is still young and raw, and he can be shaped and molded to be exactly who we want him to be. What I will say is, and Mike Kafka did not do a good job as the head coach, but he did a fabulous job as an offensive coordinator, even while he was dual-roled as the head coach. I've seen plays that he came up with that blew my mind. Worked to perfection. Obviously, they practiced it because they weren't simple. They were very complex in design, and they had to be executed perfectly by several people on the team in order for it to work, and it did work. And you talked about Malik Nabers going out due to injury. Darius Slayton had to step in to be the one. Then he went out due to injury. And we went into a game with no receivers absent Wandale Robinson and Bo Collins and somebody else. And we're hoping to win. And
Lil
Jordan Humphrey. And Mike Kafka came up with a perfect game plan that involved the tight ends in the way that we didn't even miss our receivers. Obviously, we missed them, but the offense was still functional without missing key pieces. And I was like, wow. Mike Kafka is not going to be on a New York Giants sideline next year. At least I don't see a way for him to do it, because obviously the Giants are looking for a new head coach, and new guys bring in new eyes, right? And they're going to bring in who they want. Now, it would probably be okay if they brought Mike Kafka back. But I think overall, the organization and fans alike, they just want new everything at this point, right? Like, we don't want to see carryover from anything that's the same that we've seen that's kept us in this perpetual state of being under 500. Performing NFL team. So I really don't know what they're going to do with that. But to wrap up offensively, I think that the Giants have given us, even in a losing season, a lot of reasons to be excited moving forward. One of the names we didn't talk about was Tyrone Tracy Jr. And I thought he did a phenomenal job once he got his legs back under him and regained his confidence. When he came in after Scat left, I think there was some mental stuff he was dealing with where he was just not making the same type of decisions to run angry that he did before. But after a couple of games, he got back to that. In fact, well, he gave a second 2 year in a row 1,000-yard seasons.
I feel like Tyrone Tracy Jr.'s issue was he never got the level of love Scatabu had because he didn't bring the same amount of energy. I feel like he was battling with...
Well, he don't eat crayons for breakfast. You can't have that same level of energy.
I feel like he was battling with, they loved me last year, and now the team energy, that everything about this team has declined since this rookie running back who started for, 5 weeks or so went down. The whole energy of the team shifted. It felt like when his first game he played after Scatabu got injured, it felt like he was trying to run through people, which is not what he does.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that, but I noticed that he was trying to do angry runs, and he's not that kind of running back. I feel like when he went back to running like Tyrone Tracy is when his numbers started increasing. Correct. But I feel like he was just in his head about he thought he lost the city. He thought he lost the team, and he did it.
Right. Well, we saw something similar with Jackson Dart playing against Minnesota when Kafka was like, we're going to protect you at all costs, put you in bubble wrap. I want you to play this way, not your style of football, because we can't afford to lose you due to concussion again. He produced 33 passing yards that game, which was, I think it was like a net 9 or something like that at the end of the game, which was probably his career worst between college, high school, and professional.
Once
Jackson Dart was able to be himself, play himself, do his thing, his numbers went right back up. So you're right. Tyrone Tracy Jr., I think what based on the way you said it, I think you agree with me. It was all mental for him. It had nothing to do with him having limitations from the shoulder injury that he suffered. He was back, but mentally, he didn't know how to find his place again. And once he found his place again and he played within his skill sets and didn't try to reinvent himself, he was able to bowl. And he had a great season. So real quick, defensively, we talked briefly earlier today about how Shane Bowen, clearly he wasn't the answer. And I do want to touch mildly on Joe Shane, but he wasn't the answer. He just did not know how to run a defense. And honestly, I wouldn't say that his defensive scheme was terrible, because when he was terminated and Charlie Bullen took the reins, Charlie Bullen didn't bring in a whole new system. It was still Shane Bowen's system, but it was called differently, and he put people in different places that work with their skill sets instead of trying to fit square pegs in round holes. And we saw the defense perform at a much higher level. Wish this would have happened much sooner in the season, but a much higher level, to the point where, like you talked about, Abdul Carter, he started turning pressures into sacks, right? He started turning pressures into tackles for loss. He finished the season with the highest pressure rate by an edge rusher, if I'm not mistaken. He just had an outstanding game. Bobby Okereke out there having consecutive games with interceptions. Like, that stuff wasn't happening for us. I think it was Dane Belton who had an interception also. Like, these guys were flying around and getting to the ball. Like, the defensive numbers, I forget what the statistics were exactly, but we went from the bottom of the league to the top 10 in every category defensively for the last 5 games of the season. That's not an accident. That doesn't mean we didn't have good players. We had good players who weren't coached right, who didn't have the right plays called at the right times, who wasn't subbing in and subbing out. Darius Alexander went in there and he came in. He finished the season looking the way we wanted him to start the season. That's not an accident that these happen. What'd you think about the defense and how they turned it around? Absent Dexter Lawrence, because I still don't know what's really going on.
It's hard for me to give anything to the defense. like I said, the last two games, I feel like it was two teams that wanted to hand us a W to destroy our draft position, and we took it. So, I mean, I did see some good things with the defense, but I felt like we was playing against an elementary school at that point. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel as good to me as it does to you, because I just seen it different. I seen it like, it felt intentional. Everything felt intentional. I liked what Abdul Carter was able to do towards the end. I'm a big Bobby Okereke fan. I feel like he don't get talked about enough due to the fact that he's not on a very good team at the moment, but he's on a team with a lot of potential. So I feel like he's an important piece to keep. Brian Burns, I can't say enough about him. I can't say enough about him.
Second team all pro on this year too.
He exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
He should have been, but I'm telling you, when your team is like our team, your players get looked at a lot less. And I think that's what it is. If you had Brian Burns on the Chiefs, well, the Chiefs look bad too. Let's say the Bills, he would be first team. You know?
You know what? I think there's truth to part of that, but at the same time, the New York meat market is just so big that his name is out there. You know, even on a bad team, you look at Jackson Dart, his name is out there. Number one jersey sales in the country right now. Cam Scataboo is everywhere you look, he's there, and he's getting like huge attention. So part of that is true, but I think the media market has a lot to do with that, though.
For him to not be first team and him to be number two in sacks.
Right.
And mind you, Myles Garrett had a game with like six sacks and a game with like seven or five something like that.
Yeah, five. He had five sacks in that game. Yeah.
So he got like 11 sacks off of two games, which really created the space. But
yeah,
to not make Brian Burns...
Who's on a losing team,
on a losing team. Mm-hmm. First team, it's a popularity contest to me.
Right. It's definitely malpractice in the voting process, right? Like, he should have definitely been first team. But overall, finishing the season, you know, depending on what your hopes were, whether you wanted the second pick and turn that to multiple assets to get more pieces, or you were just happy with the win. Overall, finishing the season with the fifth overall pick, because we are where we are now, regardless of what we hope to see and gain from, it is what it is. You know, I'm not disappointed about having the fifth pick in the draft. You talked about Joe Shane. I think the only thing that saved Joe Shane, there's two reasons. Tiki Barber said that he believes that the Giants needed to have some type of continuity going forward, and Joe Shane didn't do as bad as a job as it appears to be because of our record. He did bring in some really good pieces. I will give him credit, as I have to. His last two seasons, 2025 season, 2024, he did a very good job drafting talent. I won't say the same thing about free agency outside of Brian Burns, because Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland, I feel like the jury's still out. The verdict is still out on that one, because they didn't show me enough this year. That may be partly because they had just a bad defensive coach. I don't know. I'm a wait and see on that one. But we got some pieces coming in. We had some good pieces that came in through the draft. That being said, I think it's kind of hard to mess up the fifth overall pick, and Joe Shane is going to be looking to do that. Maybe he'll draft down and turn that into a couple of assets. Obviously, it'll be different assets than if you had the number two pick and you were drafting down. And you were trading out of, but I don't think five is a bad place to be. Now, we got this head coaching vacancy. There's a bunch of names out there. John Harbaugh is obviously the name that a lot of people want to see in New York. You got Kevin Stefanski. I'm just talking about prior coaches with head coaching experience. John Harbaugh, Raheem Morris, Kevin Stefanski, Antonio Pierce. You got Jim Schwartz, Jonathan Gannon, Brian Flores. And then you've got Cliff Kingsbury out of Washington. Who you like and why? So and who's an absolute no?
My pick is going to be Harbaugh. My reasoning behind that is when getting Lamar Jackson, he built a team around his quarterback. He found out what works for his quarterback. He used it. He didn't say, oh, you good at running? Stay in the pocket. And I feel like it's important for you to work with your quarterback's strengths. Get what he likes. Because at the end of the day, I feel like that's the head of the team. And I feel like he will do that. I don't feel like he's going to have players doing stuff they don't usually do because he thinks it's a good idea. I think he's going to use our team to its strengths. And we got a lot of strengths. It's just hard to see it because we don't do that. I don't think I have an absolute no.
Mike McCarthy?
I don't want him. I don't Mike want him McDaniels? Actually. Nah, that's who I meant. McDaniels is, I like him as a person. I don't want him as a coach. So I guess he would be my absolute no. And it's just because I feel like it would be the same deal that you got with Brian Daboll. Just, it'll look good on the sidelines. It'll look good in the media, but it won't look good in the locker room. I feel like we need a more strict person, a more seasoned guy, who's been doing this for a long time successfully. So I would go with Harbaugh.
Harbaugh's your number one. Who's your number two?
Honestly, there's a part of me, unpopular opinion. I would love to get Pierce back in there. Even if it's just not as the head coach, even if it's
I'm talking about head coach.
I don't think the Tomlin thing's going to happen, Unc.
I'm not saying Tomlin. I'm saying right now with the landscape that we're working with, who's your second choice? Let's say Tomlin retains his job with the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, he's not even a consideration because he's employed and he's playing tomorrow night, right? Or coaching tomorrow night. With the current list of players, coaches that are available that I ran off.
One more time. Who would be your second choice? One more time.
All right. We got John Harbaugh, Antonio Pierce, Raheem Morris, Kevin Stefanski, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike McDaniels, Jim Schwartz, Jonathan Gannon, Brian Flores, and Jesse Minter.
I also wouldn't be mad at Brian Flores, but that's really just me picking one to pick one. I'm sold on Harbaugh.
Right.
I like Flores, but I don't have a plan B.
Okay, so your guy is John Harbaugh, and you saw his list of demands, right? $20 million salary, $10 million to hire assistants. I think he wanted a 5-year deal, and he wants the ability to pick his own general manager. You like that, or you got an issue with that?
I do feel like it's a lot. I feel like it's a crazy list, but I feel like we need so much change that I'm with it. We need so much change on this team. I don't want to draft somebody.
Because that means getting rid of potentially Joe Shane, who the Giants have already committed to keeping.
We need so much change on this team. We write the book on making the wrong side of history. We write the book on it. I would be surprised if every NFL record ever broken wasn't broken on us. Every time I watch a Giants game, it's the first time someone started a game completing 15 passes. The first time a running back got 4 touchdowns in a game. First time is everything is just like a wild stat that is just the Broncos game.
Unthinkable that it could ever be broken, but we broke it.
Insane. I feel like we need so much change that give him what he want. Like, because it's not one person responsible for the Giants' failures. It's multiple people. Let's get rid of multiple people. Don't just get rid of the head coach. Let's change the trajectory of this team. Let's change the identity of this team. And build it into something. We've been a failing team for too long. Too long. To the point where I was talking to an Eagles fan yesterday, and he told me he don't like to eat while the Eagles is playing because sometimes he'll lose his appetite. I used to be like that. Now?
Yeah, no. I can't.
No. It don't matter to me. But yeah, I just want the, we got to make some changes. I'm down to give him his demands.
Okay. All right. And you know, I'll say this. I'm okay with it too. I tell you what, John Harbaugh's list of demands is going to reset the market for head coaches. Okay. First of all, I have never seen a more extensive list of qualifying candidates, whether it be first time head coaches or seasoned veteran head coaches to choose from ever. We always seem to miss that cycle when there's some good head coaching candidates available. We always seem to miss it. I think this list is so long that even if we picked up somebody who we did not really desire, we would still have a much better head coaching position than we have had in a long time, because there's so many good ones to choose from. I don't like Mike McCarthy, but Mike McCarthy will win you a bunch of regular season games. If that should happen, that is not who I want. He will win us some games. John Harbaugh is my guy, right? He's definitely my guy. Obviously, if Mike Tomlin were available, I know he was like, here you go with that Mike Tomlin. Look, if he were available, that's who I'm going for. But can you imagine what the Giants would have to eat if Mike Tomlin became available? Not that it matters, because it doesn't affect your salary cap in any way. You pay a head coach whatever the fuck you want to pay him, and it doesn't impact your ability to acquire new talent. But it's still resetting the market, and that's what's going to happen. Based on the slate that I'm looking at, my number one is John Harbaugh. No question about it. Everybody's making all of this hype about Kevin Stefanski, and he's supposed to be this offensive guru and all of that.
We heard that before.
This offensive guru has more losing seasons than winning seasons. He is Brian Daboll on Valium and Ozempic, as far as I'm concerned. He was the two-time head coach of the year for the National Football League. This man had who is currently a Pro Bowl playoff winning quarterback in Baker Mayfield, and totally mishandled him to the point where the general manager shipped him off to another team. They started this season, and you know he was in a room talking about, what are we going to do? Let's get Deshaun Watson. You know he was involved in those discussions. You bring Deshaun Watson here, which was a disaster of a deal to begin with, and then the guy can't even get on the field. Then you start this season, you got five quarterbacks on your roster. You got Joe Flacco. You got Kenny Pickett on your roster. You bring in, you draft Dylan Gabriel. I don't know what they were thinking when they drafted him. Deshaun Watson is still hanging out in a massage parlor somewhere. You still got him. And then you bring in Shedeur Sanders. And then you completely mishandle how you're going to deal with Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel. Well, Dylan Gabriel is probably a backup at best. Probably. He should be on the sidelines holding a Microsoft Surface or a clipboard, listening to the plays that you calling into Shedeur Sanders. And you, Shedeur Sanders shows you he's able to get the ball not only down the field and score a touchdown, and you go for a two-point conversion, and you pull them off the field. Where's the offensive guru in that? So yeah. I'm not sold on Kevin Stefanski. I'm not. I think there's a lot of hype around him, and I honestly think that he's been riding on the coattails of Jim Schwartz's defense. His defense has been epic. That defense that helped produce the league, the historical leader now in sacks, with Garrett, right? That's what I think, Myles Garrett. That's what I think has happened there. So he is not as high on my list as other people's. In fact, Brian Flores is much higher on my list, just like you said, than them. If we can get Brian Flores, I'd be very happy with that decision. I think he got a raw deal from the NFL, and it started in Miami. I think he is a very good defensive coordinator. In fact, when we played them, we only yielded 33 passing yards. He put on a clinic on how to shut down teams. He's underrated, and he deserves to be a head coach in this league. Probably not going to happen for the Giants with their history. Probably not going to happen. But hell of a guy. I don't know how I feel about Chris Shula. Chris Shula, Rams' defense is not that good. They're good in moments, but they are not consistently good. They're in the bottom half of the league in every category. But there are certain times their offense carries them. They almost lost to the Carolina Panthers yesterday. Credit to the Carolina Panthers. They showed up. They bowled. Yeah, Bryce Young out there looking like why he was drafted. And I still don't believe in him, by the way. But I'm not sold. Jesse Minter is actually pretty good. He's an interesting possibility. But when it comes to seasoned head coaches, I'm right there with you with John Harbaugh. He's that dude. So, and then you started talking about defensive coordinators. I think that's a discussion for another day. But I think both you and I, have the same opinion on who the next head coach, given the slate that's out there right now, should be for the Giants. If they make their decision in the next 24 to 48 hours and John Harbaugh is not the guy and this is the list, they've decided that they want to continue to live in the space of mediocrity. And it would be an insult to the players that they have on that roster and the fans that they have that are loyal as we have been for as long as we've been.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting old. I feel like at a certain point, your team got to turn that corner. They got to do something to show you that they're not going to just sit here and take it. And we got a lot of pieces to play with, a lot of pieces to work with, but we need to start getting W's. And
that starts with the coach. That
matters. Yeah.
Look at this year's slate of playoff teams. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they got Liam Cohen in there. I don't remember what their record was last year. 7-10 or something like that. They went 13-4, and they're winning against the Bills right now in the wild card round. You got the Chicago Bears. They brought Ben Johnson in, and Caleb Williams made me a non-believer watching him last year. This year, I believe in Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is bowling out. These guys are the comeback kings of the league. And not for nothing, offensively, they just look good. They look good. They came back against the Giants in the game the Giants probably should have won. And we've seen them do it all year long. They look really good. It is possible to get a first-time head coach in there and actually deliver and win. I don't want to talk about first-time head coach, though. I want a seasoned head coach. I'm not saying we go that route with this first-time thing. We made that mistake with Joe Judge, with Brian Daboll. I'll take it back to Ben McAdoo. I don't want to do that again, right?
Yeah.
I want a guy who been there, done that, and showed that they know how to win in this league and that they know how to construct a roster and coach players and develop them into what it means to be a winning football organization. That's what I want to see.
Same. We're on the same page.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a show. We covered a lot. I think it was great to get to do a podcast together again. You know, it's been a while. And yeah, I knew you had a lot of thoughts on the coaching search and the Giants and how the season went and how it ended. So I'm glad we were able to get this out there because a lot of people love to hear what you have to say. And they love to hear what we have to say and the energy that we bring about our beloved New York football Giants. But for now, I want to ask everybody, if you like our content, you like what we have to say, please don't forget to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And don't forget, you can find us on Apple Play. I'm kidding. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Check us out on Twitter. You can check us out, well, X now. Check us out on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We everywhere. We always talking New York football Giants. Thanks for spending some time with us. Go Big Blue.
Big Blue.
Peace, y'all.
Yeah, a lot of girls probably crying from my old high school. Look, they see me everywhere they go. I probably would too. Look, crossed over to the Jordan man like I'm Michael. Yeah, eating blessings so much I might need lipo. Yeah, tailored for the duds like I'm walking in Chucks. Yeah, it's just in this plan, man, I see how y'all shook. Look, knew that I was great ever since I was a rook. Man, all y'all singles making me look good. Okay, praise to the Most High, yeah, that's Jesus. Look, but when it come to this rap thing, I can't lose. Yeah, back to back number ones, that's a thing greats do. Yeah, tell them boys that ain't nothing I can't do. It's my year. It's my year.